It's my great pleasure to welcome three people in Out of the Sun into the shade of the studio to talk about the sun. In this case, a solar tour and all things related to that. Upcoming soon is the 2015 Matsu Sustainable Energy Tour. And there's lots of stuff about it. We're going to ask them to tell us about the dates, et cetera, et cetera. I have Mark Masteller here. Mark, would you introduce the other two people? You can do that because you've been here before and have got all this down.
Sure. Thanks, Mike. And thanks for welcoming us into the studio to talk about the 2015 Matsu Sustainable Energy Tour. We've got Bert Ensley and David Johnson from the class that's organizing the tour.
Hi, Mike. It's good to be here.
Okay.
Hi, Mike. Bert here.
Okay. The two of you are here, and my understanding is you're going to, since you're the organizers, you're going to tell us a little bit more about it. Let's start by looking at the date. When is that going to be, and where, and maybe either one?
Well, the date is Saturday, April 25th, Mike, and it's we're going to have sites that folks can visit via a self-guided tour in their automobiles throughout the valley from Willow all the way to Sutton.
Okay, so you're not going to have a bus that's going to carry people from place to place. You are, being that this is the valley and we're independent here, we'll get from place to place. When I was looking at thinking about this, I'm wondering, do you have a site, either a posting on either Facebook or a website or so on, that has a map of where all this is located?
We sure do, Mike. You can folks can visit alaskasolartour.org and find links to a Google map of the sites they can visit. They can find a link to a Facebook event that will be uploading live data during the event, and also great information about the specific sites we'll be uploading along the way.
Okay, how many years have these tours been in existence? That's an interesting question. Maybe best for Mark.
Yeah, I don't remember. We've done it many times in the Matsu and haven't done it in the last couple of years. We found that spring is a great time to do a tour in the Matsu Valley, but I don't know exactly how many. AlaskaSolarTour.org may have some information on the past tours, like 2011, 12, et cetera, but I don't exactly recall.
So would you say, I guess any one of you could answer this, does there seem to be a resurgence or a growth in interest in solar energy?
Extreme. A lot of excitement out there. And in fact, with the recent announcement of the president expecting to put to work 75,000 veterans as installers of solar energy, that's a pretty exciting development.
Oh, tell me more about that. Do you have any further information?
Well, it is developing. I've been reading several articles that at first it was 50,000, and now it went up to 70, and now I'm hearing 75,000. And what's exciting to me is that the funding is for training installers, trainers, not the installers. So imagine 75,000 installer trainers. That's going to trickle down to thousands and thousands of actual installers. So there's really something happening.
So we have two aspects of this tour to talk about, I think. One, the specifics of where these visits are going to be done, the houses, locations, et cetera. But also is the fascinating continuing growth in solar energy. And I'm aware of statistics show a very rapid growth, even though it's a small base, across the country. And of course, in many other parts of the world, there's similar growth. And this is being in part fueled by what I understand to be a precipitous drop. I think it's safe to say that, in the cost of solar panels, which are the majority part of any installation. And also, in full disclosure, we have, my wife and I had installed on our home a set of 9 panels, which have been, particularly with this early spring and very sunny time, just gleefully, I think it's gleeful, gleefully generating all kinds of power and energy. And as I look down, my MEA bill seems to be shrinking into nothing, and that feels like a good thing.
That must be exciting.
It is. That and we talk about that perhaps a little bit later. Let's start with the easy stuff, which is to say, the locations for what we're looking at here. I notice on the brochure that the locations extend from Willow to Sutton and, of course, include Palmer in between. How were these locations chosen? Were they just people? Yes.
Well, Mike, we kind of, as far as our class students, we kind of separated out into geographic type areas. Like I live up in Willow myself.
Okay.
And so I kind of picked all the, chose the Willow area just because it was convenient for me. And so I basically got the two sites ground source heat pump systems in Willow. And what really surprised me up in the Willow area that is the lack of PV systems up there, or at least road accessible systems. There's a lot of PV in the area, but you'll find most of it out on the rivers and stuff like that,
right.
Remote access. So it was kind of chosen by where people kind of lived at as far as the classroom, and we took those areas and separated it out. So,
okay.
And there's a small group of us, a half a dozen. So another thing we looked at, we kind of had a think tank where what have we seen ourselves living here in the valley? And so we started just real quickly listing off different wind turbines we've seen, different solar installations, and what individual students knew about those sites. And then we backtracked to see if they had been on the tour before. And so there was some existing information, but we're excited that there's a lot of new sites this year, as well as some of the existing sites from past tours have made improvements and added panels or a smaller wind turbine.
And what I'm seeing here is obviously a considerable range from, as you've suggested, some off-grid solar PV to some large systems. In particular, I'm familiar somewhat with the Agate Inn, which has had a multi-tiered approach to developing their solar system. And then, as you're pointing out, all kinds of things, including heat pumps. And although there are, I guess in, I'm thinking of in Palmer, at least in the city of Palmer, I'm aware of three major installations, maybe a fourth one. And a very obvious one is the Bionic Chiropractor in a very visible corner, busy corner in downtown. With a follow the sun type of arrangement, which is
dual axis track.
He's got a very, very interesting piece, and of course, my guess is that the people that will be interested in going on this tour are interested in how they might move into a solar installation or wind installation themselves. So you mentioned that you're part of a class. What is that class? Or perhaps, Mark, can you describe the class itself?
Sure, Mike. This is what we call the kind of the capstone class to the Sustainable Energy Program at Mat-Su College. So it's the Sustainable Energy Project Development class. And, you know, the class in this case chose to, as their class project, to put on this sustainable energy tour to highlight the different systems that are out there. And one of the reasons is that there is a national solar tour. So this is part of a bigger effort. But one of the most important things that we've found for people who are, as you mentioned earlier, people who are considering maybe going down this path, one of the things that really helps them is to go talk to other system owners and, you know, just get a chance to chat with them about what's going on, like you with your own system. You know, it's really valuable to somebody to be able to talk to those system owners. And so the class decided to go ahead and take this on as their spring project.
Ah, well, thank you very much. I mean, this is, I'm looking forward to it. Because our home is in downtown Palmer, and many people come by on the moderately busy street in front of it, I've had people stop, particularly if I'm out and say, is that, are those solar panels on your house? And are you happy with them? And I generally am happy with them, in part because I personally have come to the point where I might notice them as I walk up and say, oh, yeah, they're still up there. But they're unobtrusive, they're quiet. And as I say, the only time I notice their effect is when we look at our our electric bill, in one sense. Go ahead, Mark.
And let me jump in also. This is actually one of the reasons that the American Solar Energy Society developed the National Solar Tour, was that instead of people getting, say, constantly questioned, they could have one day a year
right.
when they actually open up to the public and are able to disseminate that. So it works. It works in many different ways. But this gives the opportunity for a single day for that owner to be there for maybe a couple hours or a few hours to welcome anybody who wants to ask those kinds of questions.
Now, I have been out at the college, more recently, to attend some performances at the Glenn Massey Theater. And I was reminded as I drove by, there was a tall pole with a wind generator on it there. Is there any solar at the college at this point?
We keep working on it, Mike.
You're working on
We're working on
it.
And
we'll keep talking about it, and it'll happen.
No doubt that will be an upcoming independent or group project.
That was one of our choices for our project for this class, and the class chose the tour, which I was after the PV project, but I was the only one. So.
But you may be able to springboard from this tour to that.
There's no doubt. There's a lot of excitement on the campus, a lot of interest in it from the Student Government Council, and there's no doubt in the near future there will be panels on some southern exposure of a building.
I've been in a room there, and I've seen some panels inside the room.
Yeah, those are demo panels.
Demo panels. Okay.
You know, an interesting thing, Mike, about our tour is the name itself.
Okay.
You'll notice, and even the professor mentioned the National Solar Tour. Well, we chose the name the 2015 Sustainable Energy Tour so that it would better reflect the different diversity of energy available to us. It's not just solar. There's ground source heat pumps. There's wind turbines. There's a wide variety of energy, renewable clean energy sources available.
And efficiency.
Absolutely. It all begins to reduce your need. So start with insulation and energy efficiency before you even make that purchase of panels or wind turbine.
Well, I know that there is also another piece in this whole thing, and that it has to do with cost. Very often, that is the first question that people ask. I've made reference to the fact that the electric bill is going down. Well, that's kind of cool. But how does it all pencil out? Was it worth the investment? Those are kinds of questions that are applied. And one of the large factors, because I know this to be a very real factor, is that we just have had our tax return in the tax credit, in the form of a tax credit, because we participated in the federal tax credit program, which essentially covered 30% of the cost of our solar installation. So in our case, because the total cost was under $10,000, we ended up with about $2,700 in tax credit dollars, and our dramatically reduce the cost of the installation itself. So
great to share that. Thanks, Mike, because that'll get your return on investment a lot quicker.
Certainly,
the raise in electric utility rate will get your return a lot quicker
even
as well.
More quickly. So I guess this is coming up. You're going to be doing the Solar Tour, and this is the first time that the class, as such, has sponsored it. Do you have a plan for evaluating the results? It's always a nice part of a thing like this.
Yes, we do. We've each individual homeowner or system owner, we've gotten their email addresses, and they've had questions as well. Well, how many people do you think will show up on the tour? And, you know, with my sites, I've basically just says, I don't have a clue. You know, there's really no way to judge that. But what we're going to do after the tour is we have all their email addresses and, you know, and we're going to communicate, send them a thank you for being part of it and see how many people actually stop by to view the system. That's about the only way we can gauge it. You know,
After
the tour.
Well, if it's a very sunny day, I'm guessing that will be something that will happen. Now, you say this is not just happening as in the valley, but Also happening in Anchorage? Is this the same day, or is this a different time in Anchorage?
That would be a different time. Each community has set dates for their own tour.
A different time.
And it's nice, the AlaskaSolarTour.org, that website shows each community's layout and their plan for this year and future years, past years, and what they do.
Because that would be an interesting thing as well. Nice it is to visit those installations here in the Valley. I know that there are a number of relatively large installations, both in Eagle River, the Eagle River Senior Housing,
and
then the building downtown and all the rest of it. Some pretty impressive usages there.
Let me jump in there. Go. I think Anchorage is May 15, and they are going to feature that senior housing in Eagle River with a big solar thermal. But as you mentioned earlier, Agate Inn has both a very large 12 kW PV system, and they expect to produce about 12,000 kilowatt hours in a year. But they also have a huge solar thermal system at Agate Inn. So in one stop, somebody can see both a very large solar thermal, so solar hot water system that is meant to provide energy to multiple buildings. We call that district system. And also, right next to it, a big solar PV array. So it's a neat combination, using the sun for two different things, electricity and hot water at Agate Inn there.
Okay, and to promote our site, we have an obvious 9-panel array across the top of our roof, just below the ridge line. But peeking around from the side is a much smaller single-panel array on our greenhouse. Because about 3 years, 4 years ago, I jumped into this, and you might wonder, why would I have a panel on a greenhouse? Well, the greenhouse is a small greenhouse, but like many greenhouses, needs to be ventilated. And so what I have is a very high-performance DC fan that provides venting capability. And I was not looking forward to running power out to the greenhouse, although it's near to our home. But what I did know is that when the sun came up, I figured this out, it got warm in the greenhouse. And so the only time the fan really needs to run is when it's too warm in the greenhouse. So I put one and one together, meaning a solar panel and a fan, and hooked them up with just a little thermostat. And so it's been sitting out there now. Really, I haven't touched it in 3 years. But whenever the temperature inside there gets a bit high, we like to keep it below 80-85, the fan comes on, and then when, of course, the temperature drops, the fan goes off, and it all just works.
What a great use of solar, Mike. You know, it reminds me, as you were speaking, I was thinking of other great uses along the way, and I look down at my calculator, and I see a little solar panel there, and I see little solar panels and a variety of things in our daily life.
Sure.
So it's interesting how the world is changing, and we're finding better ways to use the renewable resources.
So right now, Mark, you have this course, and of course, there are increasingly, if you go to the Alaska State Fair, I've noted there are companies that are represented there that will fill the role of installer for any of this equipment. My sense about it is that this whole thing starts best with an analysis of what you would do and where you would put panels, or for that matter, your wind power generator or anything else. This is one of those things where if you're handy, yes, you can do certain components of it. There's also pretty relatively inexpensive analysis that's done. That's what we had done in order to ensure that we had, you know, how many panels are you going to put up there?
Sure, and using your site effectively.
Yeah, and what direction? Are we going to tilt them or not? Are we going to, you know, et cetera, and all the rest of that stuff. So it seems to me that there are a couple of approaches. Obviously, talking to people, one, courses that cover all of this are a second. And there are also some people who are doing some pretty good analysis work before you go out, because what appears to me is that more and more people are interested in providing the service as an installer, to to do that work. And in our case, it's interesting to see the choice to ensure that when you have high winds in downtown Palmer, that you still have the solar panels after the high winds.
Yeah, they're a very important feature. Yeah. That
and they
stay
have.
Up.
They've survived very nicely. Yeah. But I think that's in part because they were both well-placed and properly installed. So there's all of that and stuff. So, Mark, you're on the tour. What special about your place?
So that project is meant to highlight the efficiency end of our whole world of sustainable energy.
Okay.
In other words, as David mentioned earlier, you know, the first thing you do is reduce demand. Often, it's not affordable to say install sustainable energy systems like PV or wind or whatever unless you reduce your demand. Well, my project is a super efficient building, so it's got 20-inch thick walls and, you know, cellulose insulation, et cetera, et cetera. It's meant to highlight a building practice that dramatically reduces energy demand. So we call it a net zero energy, or we hope it's going to be what we call a net zero energy building. And it's not done by any means, so it's kind of in the process of being built so people can see the construction aspects of it. And then ultimately, and you'll see if you come on the tour, it's oriented to then have solar panels ultimately, maybe this summer, maybe not. But the reason it's on the tour is to focus or to highlight super efficient building practices. And then the other thing I've got that some people like to see is a masonry heater. So, you know, a lot of people like to burn wood. It's a renewable resource. If it's burned properly, it can work perfect. So I've got a masonry heater in case people want to see that.
Okay. Now, you mentioned this summer, maybe. My understanding is that there's some urgency because the federal tax credit will not necessarily go on forever. I think it finishes up in
2016, I believe.
2016, right. So unless it gets extended. Unless. So we could hope that it would get extended.
And there has been talk about extending it and changing it a little bit.
Okay.
So we'll see how that develops. But don't plan that. Just
no.
Plan to take advantage of it now.
And with any of this, there's this continuing question of, well, things are getting cheaper, so if we just wait in 20 years... Well, whatever.
Yeah.
I notice also that you have Valley Community for Recycling Solutions there because there is an installation for both wind and solar as well there.
Yeah, and that's I'm glad you mentioned them as well as Bionic Chiropractic because I think both of those facilities are beautiful to look at. You know, some people are worried sometimes about an eyesore, putting an eyesore in their yard or something that might not look very attractive on their roof. And in coming on the tour, you'll see it's many of the sites are very well designed and not only effective in use of power, but at the recycling center, they have 24 nice big panels on the southern side of their building and a wind generator, all tied together into an anemometer on the roof, all tied into a place called Sunny Portal, where folks can go online and see that actual data live. So that's pretty exciting how things are developing here And Professor, you mentioned another a local opportunity that people can get their information online. Echo, or what was the name of that other?
Enphase.
Yeah, we have an Enphase installation because we have Enphase equipment, and that's been a very interesting thing because I can from here in the studio I could reach out and take a look and see how each one of those panels on our home is working at this moment in time as well as over any previous time frame. That's been very helpful to just follow and track the production. We just, not so long ago, passed the 1 megawatt production thing. It was interesting when you start saying you dribble a little. Even in the dark days of winter, we would occasionally get some production, but certainly super production starting starting in March, the 1st of March, maybe a little bit earlier in February. And right now, it's, I won't say quite off the charts. Our chart goes high, but it's good.
You know, it's interesting to hear that, Mike, that how fast that you're getting a payback. And we hear it a lot from from folks asking us about payback. And one of the interesting things I'll probably always remember from my training is something the professor said is, you don't hear payback, what is the return on investment when you buy a gas heater or your electric water heater? When are you going to get a payback on those devices? Because you never do. You're always going to pay electric bills and gas bills. And so it's really, to compare apples to apples, you'd have to do a return on investment on either
sure.
item.
Sure, and that's been my good point, David, because my own explanation has been ROI. Basically, to say after the tax credit, how much money did we have to take and put into this? So take X number of dollars and you say, okay, how much of my normal bill I'm offsetting at this time? And then I do the calculation. So am I getting 7%, 10%, whatever it is on that amount of money? If I had that money and I put it someplace else, could I get that same return? These days, the answer is no.
No way.
Not going to happen. So I just said, you know, if you have any money at all, or even if I had borrowed the money, I think it could offset the cost of the loan to do this by doing it and at least be a wash. But individuals, I think, have to do those calculations. But you're right. Look at it as taking this money, if I put this money into
a new gas furnace or a new electric water heater.
And I come back, I've got pleasant memories, but this thing keeps paying me a dividend. And once you pass that point where you've amortized the amount, then it's,
free energy.
Yeah.
Free, clean energy.
The other thing that's happened is our lifestyle change. I can tell you that, and maybe other people will have those conversations along the way, is that we now, our washer, for example, we run during the peak production time.
Good point.
Because the amount of power energy that we're producing is higher in the middle of the day, so we can set the timer and run that at noon when we've got a lot of energy and when there's very little other use. So yeah. Rather than sending it into the grid in this particular time frame at a little lower price, it offsets very nicely.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So those are the kind of things that change how you do stuff.
Let me follow on that real quick and mention that the most valuable kilowatt hour to you is the one you don't purchase. So it's worth 20 cents a kilowatt hour. The one that you get paid for, which has actually gone up in price now too, thanks to MEA, it's maybe 9 cents a kilowatt hour when you send it into the grid. But still, it's the one you displace is worth about 20 cents a kilowatt hour. I also thought maybe Bert could talk a little bit about ground source heat pump systems, because this is the first time we've had them on the tour, and it's a really great technology happening in certain places.
The grid on, or Bert on the spot.
And up in Willow, that was really, I was concerned to not be able to find ground source heat pumps. And then when I started investigating, it seemed like that's all I could find, you know, and I couldn't find the PV systems.
What is a ground source?
But the ground source heat pump is a system that's basically taking the heat from the ground and bringing it back in. You know, it circles it through a loop. It's kind of like your refrigerator running backwards.
Sure.
You know, and this system is highly efficient, like, you know, 1 to 3 for every unit of power in. It puts 3 out. And there's several different types. Up in Willow, we have a well-to-well, which is cycling water from one well to the other. And then, like, the Chuck Renfro's house is a ground loop system where it actually runs the fluid through the ground and does the heat exchange in there. But they're super efficient. They are a little costly. You know, the upfront cost is a little higher, but the efficiency rating. And then if you can offset that cost with no fuel bill, because there's no natural gas up in Willow. So your electric bill is going to be higher, but if you eliminate that fuel bill, it makes a huge difference as far as your payback time. So,
well, that would be something I think a lot of people would be interested in. Right. When you think about it, the visible systems are the solar, obviously, but also the twirling really wind systems, and then but there's
a whole lot of wind in Willow, but
yeah. But then then you have this ground system that it is not obvious, but
don't see much.
Yeah, you don't see much except again.
And it's interesting that the Earth is at a certain temperature always, right? Even in the middle of dead of winter,
sure.
It's still going to be 35, 40 degrees down there, and so you're drawing through this series of coils underground. You're drawing just a small amount of heat from that Earth and transferring it into your home.
Well, isn't it a great thing that we have differences like that,
differences
in the world that make that possible? Well, we're coming toward the end of our time, so just let me have you remind us. We're talking about the 2015 Matsu Sustainable Energy Tour. So give me a summary.
I'll give you a summary, Mike. It's Saturday, April 25th. And most of the sites, the flyer, which is available online via the Facebook page, the live event page, and again at alaskasolartour.org, you can find all that information. And please respect the different times for the dozen or so sites. Some are 10 to 2, some are all day, 10 to 6. But you folks can come and visit all these sites throughout the day and see a variety of installations, from solar to wind generators to ground source heat pumps, and importantly, energy efficiency.
Grab a bunch of friends and go.
Sure. Okay.
And the online portion, Mike, also the Facebook event is an independent project portion to tag along with the group project. One of the students is doing an independent project to offer that online support and offer folks away who can't go on the tour just to partake in a little part of it and see some. They'll be uploading pictures during the event at different sites. And one of the students is actually working down at that recycling center throughout the day. And Bert here will be up at Willow at two of the sites. So you may see students along the way out there that day. And we hope folks will just come on out and participate.
Okay. Well, thank you to Mark, to Bert, to Dave for coming in here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care now.